Bibles, you can open them up to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Good to see everybody here this morning. Thanks very much for the reading this morning. That's great. Michael, where's Michael? There's Michael. Michael used to pastor, actually with Tim, at Willingdon a number of years ago. And I can't remember who the mentor was of Michael, who, when they were on the leadership group, he said to them, as leaders in the church, you should be willing and able, you should be able to do something at any time. Three things you should be able to do at any time if you're asked. And one of them is pray, one of them is preach, and the other one is die. And those are the three things. Who was the gentleman that mentioned that to you?
Carlin Weihart.
Carlin Weihart. And I was thinking about Carl, I never met him. I was thinking about him this morning. Because Tim Unruh was up for preaching on joy today. And he's got the flu really, really badly. So that's his story anyway. I'm not sure. We'll have to. So he called yesterday and said he was going to see how he felt around 5. And he's obviously not feeling better. So we're going to be praying for Tim, obviously. And he said he would bring his joy message in January. Doesn't fit the Advent, but we're going to go with that anyway. So I thought this morning I would just share maybe a little bit about where God's been sort of meeting me in my devotionals over the last few weeks. And I've sort of mentioned, the message is basically the wonder and why of treasure. Wonder and why of treasure. Anybody here think they would like to ever do any time traveling? Anybody thought it would be nice to be able to travel in time? If I had a chance, one of the times that I would love to go back to is the dedication of the temple by King Solomon. And if you've got your Bibles there, and I just, when I was reading through this, I just tried to visualize, close my eyes and visualize what is going on. A bit of a background right now is Solomon is David's son, and David was going to build the permanent temple for the presence of God in Jerusalem. And God said, no, David, you're not the one. I want your son to build it for me. And so God had been with his people, but he'd been traveling around sort of in a non-permanent fashion. And so they were going to build a temple for him, a permanent place for the presence of God to dwell with his people. And Solomon said, I'm going to build this temple for you. So I'm just going to read a few of the parts about Solomon building his temple. He said, the foundation that Solomon laid was overlaid inside with pure gold. So I just want you to visualize this temple building. And the first thing is the foundation was overlaid with pure gold. Verse 5, he paneled the main hall with pine and covered it with fine gold and decorated it with palm tree and chain designs. He adorned the temple with precious stones. He overlaid the ceiling beams, the door frames, the walls, the doors of the temple with gold, and he carved cherubim on the walls. I just can't even really get a picture of what that would look like to be in a place that was just gold, 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 precious jewels shining, and just to be in the middle of all that. He built the most holy place, which was in the temple. That is where the presence of God was going to dwell with the Ark of the Covenant. He built the most holy place, its length corresponding to the width that God had given him. He overlaid the inside with 600 talents of gold. That's 23 tons. 23 tons of gold were put into the most holy place. Danny, you would like this. The gold nails, they used gold nails. Each one weighed 1.5 pounds. So a gold nail, 1.5 pounds. The curtain between the holy place and the most holy place. He made the curtain of blue, purple, and crimson yarn. I'm colorblind, but that sounds pretty darn good to me. Amazing colors woven together. Fine linen with cherubim worked into it. And it goes on. And And then it talks about the temple furnishings, the things that were going to be in the temple. And they had workers that made these furnishings of polished bronze. So you can imagine going into this place that is gold, 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 and the temple furnishings being of this polished, shiny bronze. And all the, you should read through it, just the artwork, the beauty of what this place would have looked like, in my opinion, would have been amazing. The weight of the bronze was not determined. They were using so much bronze. Solomon made all the, excuse me, all the furnishings that were in God's temple, the golden altar, the lampstands of pure gold with their lamps, the gold floral work and lamps, excuse me, and tongues were solid gold, the pure gold wick trimmers, sprinkling bowls, dishes, censers, gold doors of the temple, inner doors to the most holy place, and the doors to the main hall, all gold. Did you get a picture of that at all? Like, does it just not knock your socks off? Like, that I would have loved to have seen. When they brought the ark into the most holy place, this is what how they describe it. Part of it, I'm not going to, just picking up in verse 11. The priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians stood on the east side of the altar dressed in fine linen, playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. Again, just this throng of people dressed in beautiful clothing and just making beautiful, beautiful noise. Thank you. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison at one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voice in praise to God and saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." And then this happened. This part happened. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God.
Amen.
Amen. Like, I'm just like, oh my goodness. To see all of the temple, first of all, just the gold and the shining and all of people, all dressed up, massive throng of people celebrating with instruments in their voices. And then to be there and have the glory of God come down in such a presence that the priests couldn't even do their function. Man, oh man. This is part I'd like to focus on a little bit this morning. Solomon then dedicates. He does a dedication prayer. And part of his prayer, starting in verse 16, he says, "Now, God of Israel, now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me according to my law as you have done.' And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David come true." So Solomon is banking on God's promise. He says, "You promised David there will always be somebody on your throne. Please fulfill that promise." This is the next line that really struck me. Verse 18. "But will God really dwell on earth with men?" But, well, thank you. Thank you. "But will God really dwell on earth with men?" I think that's an astounding question. I think that is an astounding question that I take for granted a lot. Well, of course he would. Why not? And he goes on to say, "The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. Let alone how much less this temple I have built, this temple that is gold and rubies and precious gems and beautifully and ornately done." He's saying, "God, will you really dwell with us?" And I think that's the question that God put on my heart as I've been thinking about that. God, will you really dwell on earth with men? And obviously the answer is yes. Of course he does. We have a record of that right from the very beginning. In the garden, God makes man and woman. And what does he do? He chooses to be with them. Talks about in Genesis, I think it's 3, he used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day to meet with them and talk with them and be with them up close and personal. Will you really dwell on earth with men? And an example with Solomon, the answer again is yes. That God dwelt among his people in the presence of the cloud in the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. And the promise was, I will stay here with you as long as you follow me, follow my ways. God says, I'll be faithful to that. But does anybody know what happened not even halfway through Solomon's reign? The wheels wobbled. The wheels fell off pretty quick, right? Oh, sorry, I gotta go back one more. I missed it. At the end, when Solomon finished praying, chapter 7, verse 1, here you go. Fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord that had filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down, oh my goodness, fire coming down, and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on their pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good. His love endures forever. And then they just casually asked, sacrificed 22,000 head of sheep, 120,000 sheep and goats as part of their worship. I don't even, can you get a handle on that many animals, Fritz? That's a lot of cows. And they did that for 2 weeks. They had a festival for 2 weeks. Didn't take long, though, for just rebellion, rejection of him, following their own ways. And probably for a few hundred years, it was that pattern of just God saying, you know what? I'll be with you as long as you follow my ways. People would say, okay, we will. And they didn't. And God would leave. And then they'd repent. And he'd come back and say, okay, we'll try it again. And the same thing would happen, and they try, okay, we'll try it again. And this went on and on and on and on, until finally God said, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. For now. And his presence left. He left, his presence left his people. And for hundreds of years, God's people did not hear anything from God. Hundreds of years, there was nothing. And I go back, did God really say he would dwell among his people? And when the timing was just right, when the timing was just right in God's sight, he said, I'm going to go down again. I'm going to go down again. And this time he came down, and we read about it, and that's what we're celebrating right now, this season. God with us, Emmanuel. And even more, it blows my socks away that Solomon is praying, will you dwell among men? The heavens can't even contain you, let alone this beautiful, beautiful temple that I've built. And now God says, I am going to come and be among you. Not in this huge, beautiful temple, but I'm going to come to you as a baby. I'm going to come to you helpless. I'm going to come to you silent night. How does the line go? A birth where there is no fanfare. How silently the gift is given. Compare that, God's presence coming, to the coming at the temple, where you've got hundreds of people singing, blowing trumpets. And here God chooses to dwell among us and start that by coming as a helpless baby. The heavens cannot contain you. And you're choosing to come as a baby. And I was reading something about Mary. Mary and Joseph being all alone. Culturally in that day, there would have been, for other women who were pregnant, there would have been people around, family around to help with the baby, help with the birth, help with all of those things that happen when a baby comes into the world. The Bible says that Mary and Joseph, Mary was the one who wrapped up the baby. And I believe it says she was by herself. She and Joseph were by themselves. And that is how Jesus came on the scene. But will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. It's just a life with no privilege. A life with no privilege. A life of no entitlement. We hear that word a lot. Oh, I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. He never played the God card for his own well-being. Never played the God card for his own well-being. He was rejected. Will God really dwell among men? Rejected. Despised. Brutally beaten. Crucified. But will God really dwell among men? Colossians talks about Paul saying that the fullness of God dwelt in Christ as a human. The fullness of God, the fullness of his deity was in Christ. Will God really dwell among men? And the answer is yes, for this period of time. His presence among us in human form. Solomon's day, his presence among his people in the form of the cloud. In the time of Jesus' birth to his death, crucifixion, resurrection, his presence among us in the form of a human man. Will God really dwell on earth with us? The night before Jesus died, he took his disciples aside and he said, you know what, I'm leaving. I'm leaving and you can't come where I'm going. And his disciples are going, where are you going? He said, where I'm going, you cannot come. And this, he's just talking about his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. And he said, you should be glad that I'm going. You should be glad that I am going. Because right now, I am one person among all of you. But there is a time coming when your grief is going to turn to joy because I am going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just going to dwell among you. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell in you. Like, really. Mind blowing is absolutely correct. Amen. Like, I don't know if that sinks into you at all about this thing of the temple and all of its whatever beauty, and God, and then he chooses to inhabit this temple. And that's what Paul says. We are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. I can't even get my head around that. That God would choose to indwell me with his presence. And the other thing about that is he says, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And folks, I do the same. I reject him. I rebel against him. But he's promised, I'm not going to take my spirit from you. Does it grieve me? Absolutely. Would I like a closer relationship with you? Absolutely. But I'm not going to abandon you, Mark. I'm not going to abandon you. Will God really dwell on earth with men? Yes, he will. And the other great news is he's coming again. He is coming again. And he's not just going to be indwelling us inside. He's going to be with us. There's going to be a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. And he says, I'm going to be with you forever. And we are going to be together face to face. That's a great, great hope for me and hopefully for you. Will God really dwell on earth with men? That sort of led me to, yes, the answer is yes, but then it was why? Why? Why would God choose to do that over and over? Rejected. Over hundreds and hundreds of years. Why does he choose? Why does he choose to stay with us? And I think God led me to Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven breaking into the earth. And one of the things he talks about is, what does the kingdom of heaven look like? And he's talking about, he gets to a spot, and he starts talking about treasures in heaven. And one of the lines he says is, although he's talking about sort of riches, chapter 6, verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he tells the people, where your treasure is, and treasure is things, something that we hold high value for, right? Things that we treasure are things that we value highly. And Jesus tells the people, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And a little light went on, and I was thinking, you know what? That's why God continues to dwell among men. It's because we are his treasure. We are the treasure. And where his treasure is, his heart is. Again, mind-blowing that you and I are treasures in God's sight. I don't really want you to just sort of let that go through and just go, okay. I'd like you to just meditate on that for a moment. That you are a treasure in God's sight. And he has done everything he can through Christ so that we could have our sins forgiven. We can have a relationship established with him forever. And that starts the day we let him in and receive the gift. But will God really dwell on earth with men? Yes, he will. And why? Because he treasures each and every one of us. I hope that blesses you today in some way to hear that and know that. Even if you don't believe it, even if you're sitting here going, you know what? There's no way I could be a treasure in God's sight. If you knew my life, there's no way. And God said, that's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the pit. I'd also like to challenge myself and challenge maybe you here today. I'd like to be encouraging to you that I'm a treasure in God's sight, but I'd also like to challenge you. I ask myself, where is my treasure? If somebody was observing my life, I have to believe the things that I am doing probably reflect what I treasure most. And if somebody was to watch my life for half a year or a year and go, okay, what does Mark treasure? What does he invest his time in? What does he... And that would be my challenge for us today, myself included, is take a look at our lives and go, where is our treasure? And I think the obvious answer we'd like to have is that we'd like to all be able to say Jesus is our treasure. I, for one, fail at that a fair bit. But he's gracious, and he's forgiving, and he's kind. So I hope you're encouraged this morning, and I hope you may be challenged this morning. And we're thankful, as Danny said, for everything God has done here in the church in the valley for over the last year. And we're also very excited about what he wants to do in the coming year. This isn't it, folks. He's got way more he wants to do here in the valley. So be encouraged and be challenged. Let's pray. Will you dwell among men? We thank you that the answer that we hear from the beginning of time is yes. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your forgiveness. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you that we know, unbelievably so, that we are treasures in your sight. And would that truth transform us? Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given us to live inside us and help us, encourage us, shape us. So may the presence of you within us encourage us, and we would ask God that you would help us by your Spirit to make you our treasure more and more. Thanks for the time together this morning, and we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.